What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the show. Another Friday, another episode of Why Are We Bullish? Actually, first of the year. I was unable to do one last week because I was in Toronto. And the last one before that was the Christmas episode. So holy crap, it's good to be back. I'm excited. Excited to get rolling. And, you know, I don't want to get too excited, but, you know, we're up a little bit. So that's a nice foreign feeling, first time in a while. But nonetheless, stoked to have all these gentlemen on today. We'll do some intros momentarily. Of course, this is live. Anything can happen. So I defer to my friend Bill here.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. And thing sucks.
If you have not already, like, subscribe, share, all those things help a ton getting this content in front of more eyeballs. I am Ben with the BTC Sessions. This is your daily session.
HODL the Bitcoin.
All right, before we bring in our guests, let's take a look at where we're sitting in the market right now. This is timechaincalendar.com from TC on Twitter. Awesome dude. Great tool. Anyways, no, I digress. We're sitting at 19,876 cuckbucks per coin. A single US dollar will pick you up 5,031 sats. That's significantly less than the last time I did this show. 91.72% of all Bitcoin have been mined. That's 19.26 million of them. And in terms of fees, oh, geez, pretty low right now. One sat per byte across the board, so not too bad. Shout out to sponsors of the show, CoinKite, or yeah, CoinKite.com. Cold Card, just the best way to protect your stack. I love my Cold Card Mark IV. Got a full tutorial on it. You can check it out. But they've got tons of stuff over here. The Open Dimes, the Sats cards, the Block Clock, the Tap Signer, all of this awesome stuff. So yeah, if you're curious and want to check out any of it, coinkite.com, use code BTC Sessions for 5% off. Start 9, your sovereign computing solution. Again, done a full tutorial on this. You can run your full Bitcoin stack. So Bitcoin Core, run a Lightning node, host things like mempool.space, join market. I'll be talking about that in a little bit. All kinds of great stuff on this. And not just Bitcoin, you can host your data as well and get that out of the hands of trusted third parties. So things like passwords, LastPass just got hacked. So maybe this is something you want to dive into. Photos, files, you know, smart home stuff, like all of that stuff, you can take that data out of the hands of others and have it yourself. You can host your life on your own computing power instead of somebody else's. So check them out, start9.com. There's the Embassy One, the Embassy Pro, or you can build it yourself. Yeah, love what these guys are doing. If you're stacking sats and you're looking for a way to do it that has a few things in mind, like peer-to-peer exchange, non-KYC privacy, custody right out the gate, self-custody right out the gate, then HODL has you covered. You can sign up in minutes with nothing more than an email address, and you can be transacting peer-to-peer to stack sats without having to give up, you know, your selfie and your ID and your firstborn child and all of those things. It's an easy way to do it. It's actually quite simple. Again, if you're curious how to do it, links are down below. I've also got a tutorial you can check out. And finally, if you're backing up any important Bitcoin wallet, consider getting it in solid steel, because pieces of paper are prone to things like fire damage and water damage. You might not want to worry about that. So privacypros.io, they got you covered. And you can check out the Bilfoddle. That's how I tend to back up my important stuff. Anyways, enough of my rambling. I'm going to get my guests in here. So we're going to welcome back Don, aka Casey HODL. We're going to welcome for the first time a couple new gentlemen, Bitcoin Shooter and Final Denominator. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. I think a quick round of introductions is in order for people watching. So we'll start with Don. Can you let people know who you are, what you do?
Yeah, for sure. Excited to be back. My name is Don. I'm in Kansas City on the Kansas side. I help host the meetup here in town. And other than that, I'm an investor in a bunch of Bitcoin companies. Just a Bitcoiner, and excited to chat it up with you guys.
Awesome. Welcome back, man. It's good to see you. Hope you had a good holiday and everything.
For sure. For sure. You too.
Awesome. Final denominator, you were widely suggested by a number of people. I put up a post like a week and a half ago asking for recommendations.
Those were all my NIMs. I was recommending myself. Yeah.
But you came highly recommended. Maybe I'm let kidding. People know who you are, what you do, as much as you want to share.
I'm just a basically toxic pleb shit poster on Twitter, and that's pretty much the summary. I'm a philosophy guy, like to think, reason, that kind of thing. Came to Bitcoin because of that reason. Not really, like, I get the economics, I get the the game theory and all that stuff, but it kind of came from it from mostly a philosophical perspective. So
awesome. Well, I'm glad to have you. I'm curious to hear your thoughts as we get into the episode. And we'll dive in. But one last intro here. Bitcoin Shooter. I don't want to give you too high praise here, but you're making some really cool shit. So maybe tell people what you've been up to.
Yeah, so I'm a filmmaker. I've been doing it for 15 years, mostly for business. About a year and a half ago, I started doing it in the Bitcoin space with Max Kaiser, and that's kind of tumbled into a few things. So I put out a 10-minute film about El Salvador called Comeback Country. You can see that at comebackcountry.com. It covers the history of El Salvador, gang war, Bukele, and Bitcoin. And since then, I've been filming and editing all kinds of cool stuff. And even just now, actually, the president, Nayib Bukele, reposted one of the interviews I filmed in El Salvador. And that's the third thing he's reposted of mine. So I've hit the hat trick. So yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm in this space and I'm currently raising funds for my next film.
Damn, that's awesome. Yeah, I got to sit down and watch because we met in person in LA, right?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So I got to watch your Comeback Country film. It was awesome. And I've seen a bunch of other clips of stuff that you're working on that you've been, some of the interviews you've done, and they're great. So very excited to kind of see you continue to make more stuff in and around the space. So let's just get it rolling, guys. So anybody watching that's unfamiliar, this is Why Are We Bullish? Really simple concept. We're all coming with a reason why we're bullish. And the flow of the show goes as such. One, somebody's going to drop a reason why they're bullish, get to rant on it a little bit. Two, we're going to open it up and we're going to riff on that all together. And then three, we're going to rotate to the next person till everybody gets a turn. So reason, riff, rotate, simple. So I'm going to get us started today. And this kind of ties into my reason today, kind of ties into a couple of the tutorials that I made over the past couple of weeks here. So I dropped one today. One came out last Wednesday. But the general reason that I'm feeling bullish right now is continuing to see how unstoppable Bitcoin is, even in a nightmare scenario with like draconian regulations. And so, we saw last year, end of the year, people like Elizabeth Warren floating bits of potential legislation that would effectively, like, not fully outlaw, but like require licensing for really anything you do with Bitcoin. It would be like, if you want to have a wallet, if you want to run a node or a lightning node, like, all of these things, it's not going to pass, but it just got me thinking of like how stupid it was because of how unenforceable it would be. Like, for instance, saying that, in order to self-custody, in order to have a wallet, anything that would relay a Bitcoin transaction, you would need some sort of licensing mechanism to do that. So I made a video on how stupid outlawing self-custody would be. And the video was literally how to make a seed phrase with dice, like regular dice, roll them, write down your rolls on paper, turn it into binary and like calculate out what it would be, and then just use a variety of different mechanisms or open source software to actually calculate what your seed would be on the BIP39 seed list, seed word list. And so I went through all of this and, it's an hour long video. It's a pain in the ass to do it this way. I probably wouldn't recommend people make their seeds this way on the regular, but you can do it. You can, with pen, paper, and dice, and, you know, some general math skills, you can create a seed phrase and a Bitcoin wallet that nobody knows exists, and actually interact with the Bitcoin network with said wallet. And so the how insanely uninformed it is, the idea that you could somehow control this via regulation, I just thought was hilarious. The other thing that I just did a video on that I just dropped today was Join Market. So, you know, in and around Bitcoin privacy. So there's a lot of different Bitcoin privacy tools that are beginning to proliferate and, you know, be used more widely. You know, I've used Whirlpool, you know, fairly often. You know, there's other options like Wasabi. But Join Market has been around for a long time, but widely kind of inaccessible to your average pleb, I would say. It's a little bit more complicated to use. However, this app, it's called Jam, and Join Market is open source and anybody can build upon it. And so you can build any type of application upon the Join Market protocol. And so this app is not Join Market itself. It just utilizes the pools of liquidity within Join Market and allows you to connect with peers and do collaborative transactions and anonymize or break the links between you and your coins. So people can't watch every transaction you do and paint a picture of how much money you have, because that can be dangerous. You know, outside of the realm of like state attack, I'm just talking in general, you don't want every person off the street to be able to decipher how much Bitcoin you have. And so privacy tools like this are very, very important. And with something like this, it's very resilient to state attack because it's fully open source. There's no like centralized entity to even go after in terms of like a coordinator or a company behind it. It's just open source software. And this application, you do have to run it on a node, but it's being added to all of these different node implementations. So the one I did it on was the Start9 Embassy, which is awesome. Like you just go to the marketplace, you search it up, or you just go to like the Bitcoin apps and it's right there and you install it. And then you just got this kind of simple interface. You can receive Bitcoin into it. And then you can, I won't dive deep into the explanation of what you do, but you basically can do collaborative transactions that kind of split up your Bitcoin and make it very difficult, if not, I don't want to say impossible, but incredibly difficult to decipher who owns what. And so stuff like this, I love seeing kind of the leaps forward that we're making in usability for these apps. But at the same time, when you break it down to kind of the base of what we're actually building upon, you can still use things like dice and paper to create a seed phrase. So we're getting all of these great features and apps and things that are simple to use, but we're at the end of the day, it's math, it's numbers, it's words and letters. Like it's how do you ban that? And the answer is you can try, but you're not going to be very successful. So that's why I'm bullish right now, is just kind of the seeming unstoppable nature of Bitcoin and how truly difficult it would be to stamp out. So I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to open it up for comments, questions, whatever it may be. I don't know. What do you guys think about kind of where we're at? How unstoppable is Bitcoin in its current state?
Yeah, I'll jump in there. You're right. So Bitcoin is basically like a panacea, right? It's you can't really, it's like you can't really kill it. You can't really stop it. It's a remedy for almost all fiat, not all fiat problems, but it's a remedy for fiat. And like you were saying earlier, with like the tyranny and all the kind of crazy stuff happening in the past year and governments clamping down, me and my buddies, we would spend like hours and hours and hours with people trying to explain that like Bitcoin is a panacea. They're like, no, Bitcoin's not a silver bullet. There's no way. Like, there's no way it does this. The government's going to ban it. And it's like, dude, if you just like understood how it worked, you'd realize you just can't ban like numbers and dice rolling. Like you said, it's like there's just really no the more you try to attack it, the stronger it's gonna get. So yeah, that's obviously a reason to be bullish. Is
yeah
can't really kill it.
You're right. Like it's the crux of it. It's when you say it like that too, it reminds me of Ray Dalio's thesis on Bitcoin. He's like, well, it's great, but the government's going to ban it, and that's why. This is the only reason why he's not like fully down the
ultimate
Bitcoin
statist argument.
So he's just like his whole position is, well, it'll be banned, but what does the ban effectively? Again, we're talking about this on Spaces earlier today, but the perfect example against this argument is China. They've banned it how many times? They banned mining, and like 20% of the hash is still in China. So like, you know, if one of the largest and most draconian nation states on earth can't effectively ban Bitcoin, what hope does any country that has like a semblance of freedom in it have at banning it? So I don't know. Don Shooter, do either of you guys have thoughts on this?
Yeah, sure. So if the government could ban Bitcoin, I would be out. And I think a lot of maxis would be out. I mean, this is the whole innovation, right? It's something that can't be controlled. And when you don't have control of the records or transactions, you can't seize and freeze someone's money from a computer. You have to put boots on the ground. And there's just too many of us, right? I mean, they can't get enough boots on the ground. And when I explain to people why Bitcoin can't be stopped, it's because everyone can hold the records and anyone can compete to process transactions. And therefore, to stop Bitcoin, the government would have to find everybody running a node holding the records, and they would have to shut down every single node. It's like Harry Potter had a hard time doing it with 7 Horcruxes, you know, imagine doing it with 100,000, you know what I'm saying? Like Harry Potter could barely do it, you can't do it. And then, of course, you know, processing the transactions, right? People can mine, and the government never knows who's going to process the next transaction. So they don't know who to tell, don't process this transaction. And so I think people need to understand that, you know, every computer, every node out there, is securing the network, and so is every miner. The government cannot control the records, and they cannot control the transactions. And there's a lot of smart people in the space thinking about ways that they could, and no one's come up with a good solution. And at the end of the day, if Bitcoin doesn't work, I mean, we're doomed anyway. It's Bitcoin or bust. And you know, the idea won't die though. We have this idea of hard money, and you know, the people that believe in it now, I think maybe we'll try to figure out something else, but to me, everything you do to Bitcoin makes it better. Even when you think it's something bad, it's like, go ahead, try to ban it so that you prove to the people who think that you can ban it that you can't. And Nigeria is a really good example too. They did it a couple times, and each time adoption shot way up, price shot way up. It's like the opposite of what you would think would happen. So like Max Kaiser says, it's designed to be attacked. Attack me all you want.
Yeah. I love the Harry Potter analogy. I thought of it. I mean, Voldemort's problem was he only had the same number of Horcruxes as Bitcoin SV has nodes. So like that's, you gotta pump those numbers up, son, to get shit done, I think. But yeah, like again, Nigeria, another great example. Like they were saying something along the lines of like 50% adoption, like across the country in terms of like Bitcoin and shit coins. But like they're, you know, they're banning cash effectively now, like actually banning cash. They've got, and they're trying to push people into their CBDC, not just like voluntarily, but like banning cash so that people have to use it. They launched it previously thinking that, oh yeah, if we launch this, people will use this and all this other, you know, Bitcoin will go away. Like it got like 0.5% adoption nationwide. And so like nobody wanted to friggin' use it. And so now they're pushed into being more draconian than they were. My guess is that's going to backfire on them, and they're going to push even more adoption of Bitcoin nationwide by doing so. Because people didn't want the CBDC. Now that they're pushing for people to use it, people are going to, and banning cash, they're going to look for alternatives. And hey, Bitcoin's here. We're ready for you. Don, thoughts?
Yeah. On the CBDC thing first, I think I agree with you. I think as more and more governments implement CBDCs, that's going to be like the best marketing for Bitcoin that anybody ever could have dreamed of, right? And it's ironic that it's the governments who are scared of Bitcoin that are going to be doing that marketing for us. So yeah, I think that's pretty awesome. On the privacy front, I think Bitcoin, the network, as you guys have kind of talked about, can't be stopped no matter what. I think Bitcoiners are still a bit at risk. You have people like Elizabeth Warren, which you touched on earlier, who's coming out with all kinds of batshit crazy proposed regulations. But the part that makes me excited there is kind of all of the privacy enhancements that we're seeing tangential to Bitcoin base layer. So whether that's things like Liquid Sidechain, Lightning Network, Fediments here coming up probably in the next couple of years, I think all of those things together will enhance privacy and just make it easier for regular Bitcoiners to keep their anonymity set at such a scale where, you know, even if Elizabeth does get her way, like it's going to be too far gone by that point. So I think, you know, I think we're getting close to the point where all of those things are going to be ready for prime time when the time comes. So I think that's pretty bullish.
Yeah. Yeah. The Fediment thing is interesting to me. The idea of, again, like small, either families or local communities being able to enter into a Fediment that gives you like incredible privacy. Basically all the transactions within the Fediment are entirely private to not only to just the outside looking in, but like within the Fediment itself, people can't tell what is happening, including the people actually running the multisig. And then on top of that, you can connect different Fediments to each other with the Lightning Network. Yep. You know, so it kind of, I think there's a lot of stuff coming down the pipe that is very interesting. Again, we haven't seen it in the wild yet, but like it's a promising option to have. And you're right, like Liquid, Lightning, all of the on-chain privacy stuff, like we just have a tool belt that is adding more and more tools, and that's a great thing to have without sacrificing the auditability of the main chain. That's the crux of it, right? That's what we're looking for. So yeah. Gentlemen, I'm gonna round up this topic here. I think just in general, again, like the unstoppable nature of Bitcoin at its base with everything that's being built on top of it, like those two things together are like incredibly bullish. I've gotta give a shout out to somebody in the chat here. For some reason, somebody in the chat is super concerned with price, but I haven't, I mean, we really haven't been chatting about it whatsoever. He seems to think that we are bullish for no reason. This show is very rarely about price, my friend. We're like, yeah, I mean, long term, sure, number grow up, but like I could give a fuck less over the short to like over the next couple of years, like whatever. So Matthew, don't worry, we're not looking at the 15 minute chart right now. That is not on the radar of any person on the screen right now.
Sell all your shit coins, Matthew. Sell them right now, man. I know you got some, bro.
It's never too late. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, no, we're focused on like the societal implications of Bitcoin and like the betterment of society. Like we're bullish on a better society created by Bitcoin. So that's why we're here. Anyways, I digress. Let's keep it rolling. We're going to do a little rotation here. And actually, Don, I'm going to jump to you next. I know you just had the mic, but you're next on my screen. So you get it. Let me know. Why are you bullish, man?
For sure. Yeah. So this is, it might be kind of sound random, but I'm actually bullish on Miniscript. So I don't know if you guys have heard of Miniscript. It's kind of gotten a little bit more love here recently. It's something I kind of just learned about and have been diving into this week. And shout out to Rob and Becca over at Anchor Watch for kind of bringing it to my attention. But for anybody that's not familiar with Miniscript, it basically allows Bitcoin's script language to be kind of dumbed down in a way, and it makes it easier for people to do really cool things in terms of smart contracting. So one of the main use cases that Rob and Becca, for example, are working on is in regards to custody models. But it kind of lets you do some really cool things as far as signatures and time locks and hash locks. So it makes like, especially like institutional custody models, able to do some pretty cool things. So like, for example, you might have like three institutions that are involved in a custody model, and like two of them have to sign. And if one of them doesn't sign in a certain amount of time, maybe it fails over to the third institution. Maybe if the Bitcoin doesn't move in a certain amount of time, like that institution gets cut out of the custody model. So there's just all kinds of cool things that you can do with Miniscript. And I'm not really sure. It's been around since like 2018, 2019, I think, is when a few of the Blockstream engineers coded this up. But for whatever reason, it hasn't really been utilized much until here recently. So I think just diving into it during the bear market got me pretty excited about some of the use cases that could be possible with this thing. So yeah, bullish on Miniscript.
That's cool. So I'm thinking of something that it was Knut Svanholm that brought it up in terms of programmability he'd like to have in terms of a almost like an inheritance style divvying up of like time locking Bitcoin. So like the general consensus of, I imagine most people here is that, okay, short-term price action, nobody knows. But like over long time frames, you know, if Bitcoin continues to be, you know, utilized and found valuable by people, and fiat currencies continue to debase the way they have been, then the purchasing power of individual Bitcoin or sats will continue to grow over time. And so what he was saying was, what if there was a mechanism through which I could time lock in Bitcoin for inheritance? And that time lock, after you pass a certain threshold or a certain block, because we can, you know, ballpark a timeline of like certain blocks into the future of like, what year is it going to be released? So on and so forth. You could then say, I would like, okay, I have, you know, X Bitcoin that I would like my family to have. They have their own wallets, their own keys, whatever. And at this point in time, I would like X percentage of the total amount of Bitcoin time locked to be released to them. And then, you know, certain amount of time forward, I would then like, let's say you had one Bitcoin and you wanted that to go to your family at, you know, 10 years in the future, say a quarter of a Bitcoin is released to them. And then 5 years in the future from there, a quarter of the remaining amount, or, you know, 50%, whatever the percentage threshold, but like an idea of like having, say like having the amount released to them over time, thinking that over that time frame, even though you're having the amount of Bitcoin released to people, that Bitcoin will be, the purchasing power of that Bitcoin will be worth more. So they don't blow all their Bitcoin early on and they're forced to kind of hodl long term. So like basically a halving schedule for inheritance is what I'm getting at. Because like that, the blocks, like as miners, that's worked out relatively well in terms of, okay, well, yeah, it fluctuates a lot, but like the purchasing power of the amount of Bitcoin that are released every block right now, even though, you know, it's been rough for miners right now, it happens every cycle, but like the purchasing power of 6.25 Bitcoin right now, it comparatively to the 25 Bitcoin, like a couple cycles ago, the amount, the purchasing power of each Bitcoin has increased, you know, quite a bit. And so the idea of having an inheritance plan is, do you think, is that something that with Miniscript, is it that versatile or could it be?
I believe so. Yeah. And I think the cool thing about it too, is you've kind of mentioned the time lock and having that be based on block height. I believe you can also do just regular clock time as well. So say like, for example, if I have three kids, which I do, so this will be a pertinent example. If for whatever reason I could set up a mini script to say I didn't move my UTXOs for like 2 years, for example, then it could be set up to where two out of the three of my children would have to use their key, but only after a year of them signing, the Bitcoin would actually be released. And you can set that up to be, you know, different lengths of time or whatever fits your situation better. But yeah, I mean, I think in addition to custody, I think inheritance planning is something that will probably be explored a lot using Miniscript here going forward.
That's cool. I don't know, Ed, Denominator or Shooter, do you guys want to jump in? I don't know if you have like thoughts or questions in around Miniscript.
Yeah, so the Miniscript thing is cool, but like, I'm just going to totally get off a little bit what you were saying. You brought up institutions and stuff like that. Do large institutions even exist on a Bitcoin standard? Like, how can you trust that, like, let's say Michael Saylor is obviously the CEO of MicroStrategy. How can one person be in charge of all the keys? And obviously a lot of people are going to have to like sign them or like, you know, like confirm that they're going to send money, whatever, within their like institution or company. But I think we go back to like individuals, you know, almost like in like Ayn Rand's book, you have like Hank Reardon, he would have all of the keys of Reardon Steel or something like that. I don't really know. So I feel like a lot of Bitcoiners are working on like fiat solutions, like Bitcoin solutions to fiat problems, mm-hmm. You know? Like, wouldn't obviously, the stuff for inheritance planning is super important, but I don't really know about like about institutions and, but anyway.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I agree with what you're saying. I think, like, in reality, though, we're going to have an interim period that's probably going to be like longer than we would all wish. And so I think,
I don't know, man. Like acceleration theory, dude. Come on.
We'll help bridge the gap to that, you know, future that we're all kind of planning on. So that's my take, anyway.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm just pulling your leg.
Well, I'm working on pushing that future closer. We'll talk about that a bit more. But just to get I'm not a technical person. So what I take away from this is, like, I know the guys well at Start9, and I know they're probably not exactly working on this, but the developers and the programmers that are out there doing good work helps me sleep better at night, you know? And there's a degree of trust, right? Because I know some programmers and I trust that they're not lying to me, but at the end of the day, it is in their best interest to keep Bitcoin going, right? Because everybody's got their net worth tied into it. So it's the self-interest of these people that keep them honest and keep them building and working on these things, even though I don't know how to do it and I'm going to benefit from them. Like, the same things that keep me up at night making Bitcoin films, like, I know are keeping up developers at night, writing code, building stuff. And like with Miniscript or whatever else comes, it's just, man, the people and the incentives of Bitcoin, just, they're so powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to echo that. I'm curious, Denominator, how did you phrase it, the biggest example of Bitcoiners creating solutions for fiat problems? Is there one that sticks out to you that you're like, why are we working on this?
That's kind of putting me on the spot. I think there's like so many. I don't even know. We probably have to chat for a long time, but almost a lot of things we are doing is like finding Bitcoin solutions for fiat problems, but maybe we'll come back to that later. It's a great question.
Anything that involves,
So for example, I don't know. I was listening to Rodolfo's podcast, and he had like, and he had the what's it called? I think it's like inheritance planning or something like that. And they were talking about like how there's going to be all these lawyers that are trying to like, they're going to have your son is going to try to get your keys and so is your daughter. But then your uncle, your brother, who's like your kid's uncle, is going to be like, no, that's mine because I have the rights to it. And then you're going to have to pay the lawyer fees, all these Bitcoins to like find out who the money goes to. And it's like, that's just, I don't know, like on a Bitcoin standard, like your kind of fiat laws don't really apply here. Like the whole meta has changed. Like you're trying to find solutions to problems that may exist in the interim. And like, I can totally understand why people would work on that. But I feel as if Bitcoiners like try to imagine what a Bitcoin world would be like. Like a lot of the solutions that we're having are Bitcoin solutions for fiat problems, you know? But yeah. Anyway, the inheritance planning, I think it's important. And if I was like got into Bitcoin in like 2012 or like 2014 and I was, you know, like 50, 60 years old, yeah, 100%. But I mean, like, if we don't have hyperbicarbonization by 2030, 2040. I don't know. It's just, we got to go quick, guys. It's gotta happen quick. You got to have the acceleration moment of the shot heard around the world, like Japan. We're going in because our bond's a Ponzi scheme and we have no choice. Fed jumps in, you know, like that has to happen. I don't think we can do a slow bleed, but anyway, kind of went off for no reason.
I love to hear what's his name, Abe. I think he's the former prime minister of Japan, but I love, yeah, Abenomics or something. I love him to come out and be like, you know, I don't think my thesis was correct. Maybe we should just go, you know, like,
wait, didn't Abe get assassinated, or was that a different guy?
I think that was a different guy. I don't know. Did he?
I don't know. Clown World happened so quickly. It's like all the shit's happening. Like, how much does it keep up? You know, like
it happened incredibly quickly. Like it's like the car pulled up at the end of 2019, and it's just been a stream since then. It's been wild. They're still somersaulting out.
It's true.
Yeah. Oh, he is dead. He is dead. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. What I'm saying. He's.
Yeah. Hunter Biden's laptop confirms.
Perfect.
That's how you know that thing's accurate. You know?
I'm so happy that he commented.
It's tough to keep up. Keeping up with Clown World's a full time job. Like, it's you have tough to be on Twitter all day long to keep up with stuff that happened last year. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. It's tough. Yeah. He was killed. Holy shit. Yeah. Wow. Interesting. All right, well, let's keep in this vein, because I'm going to rotate it and I'm giving it to Denominator. Let's hear it, man. Why are you bullish? Fill us in on your thesis.
It's not my thesis, but I'm bullish on acceleration theory.
All right, let's hear it. Let's hear it. What is acceleration theory? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Sometimes I just think out loud, and it's, you know, easier to talk to people than writing things down and self-reflection. Sorry, that was a line I had to send to my buddies. Now they all owe me 100,000 sats. So now I'm 400,000 sats richer, you clowns. But anyway.
Love it.
So, fiat failure is like inevitable. Like, it just can't. It's on archiving Clown World. That guy, yeah. He said the line.
The Bart Simpson meme.
Anyway. So yeah, fiat failure is inevitable. Can we all start with that kind of premise? Like, yes. It's like, it's mathematically certain. Like Greg Foss, the math, do the math, like run the math. It's like fiat failure is inevitable. Like the fall of Rome and like statism and like arbitrary power hierarchies is pretty much on its way out. So acceleration theory, if I'm going to kind of wrap it up, I would essentially kind of put a theme or some kind of context to it, or some kind of like analogies or metaphors. So I would say three things in this context. So like Jeff Booth says, there's no solving the fiat problem with a fiat solution. There's no fixing the solution. There's no solution in the box. It's broken. It's done. In Ayn Rand's book, not a lot of people might know this, but John Galt, Francisco de Cunha, and Ragnar Dankensgold, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. These guys were, have you guys read the books?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. These guys were accelerationists. Danuskul. How do you say it?
Danuskul.
Danuskul.
Ragnar Danuskul.
There you go. So these guys were accelerationists. Like, what did they do? They just totally left the system and gave the volition to like the parasite status class. And then so that's reason number two. And then number three would be like, people need to learn through their experiences and like their senses over like reason and logic. So like acceleration theory basically says there's no solution to the system. Let the system, it's not like let's force it to collapse, but it's like this fiat's not going to work. Let's get out of the way of trying to hold it. Let's not be like quintessential Bitcoiners and be like, oh, we should, you know, maybe vote for Pierre Poilievre instead of Justin Trudeau. Like, Justin Trudeau is the ultimate accelerationist. Like, he doesn't even think of monetary policy, like he said. So why would we have like Pierre come in, try to save a dying system instead of just like let it like pass and die? So anyway, acceleration theory is just like this idea that, you know, the system's going to die. So let's stop getting in the way of the Elizabeth Warrens. Let's stop getting in the way of like, you know, the climate change activist people. Let's get out of the way of like like everything and just kind of observe it and enjoy it and kind of, you know, cheers to clown world kind of thing. I got more to say, but anyway, that would be the summary.
I want you to keep, like, I have questions, but I want to let you, like, did you want to tack on anything, or do you, like, where are you at here?
So I could kind of say a few more things. So, how do I say this? So Bitcoin needs an escape velocity shot heard around the world moment in order to have that, oh shit, the God candle is happening because of like something happening. You need that, oh shit, this is it. Everyone gets it. And you're not going to get it in like some kind of like decelerationist mindset. You're not going to get it in some kind of like conservative realm of like, let's try to like save statism a little bit. Let's just do a little bit of statism so that we can like make a good amount of people happy. It's like, no. Let's just carry on with this clownery and just like, and get it over with. Give the power to the parasites. Let them kind of like take control. Let's do climate lockdowns. Let's get it over with. Let's do all this weird stuff. So like, to put it into perspective and give like a better overhead analogy of this, I'm gonna ask you guys a question. Who is the greatest self-custody advocate in Bitcoin? Who's done the most for self-custody of anyone?
I've got two answers for you.
Okay.
So the self-custody on the positive encouragement side of like, you should do this, I would say Odell, but like in reality,
Odell, are you?
Well, no, I'd give it to Odell. But in real terms, who's done the most for self-custody? I can tell you it's SBF.
Exactly. He's an accelerationist. You know, like, why are we decelerating?
Yeah. You kind of got me there, man. Like, I was thinking like, yeah, but Odell's done like...
No, man. SBF has done like 10x what Matt Odell has done, quintessential Bitcoining for the past 10 years. And listen, I'm a big fan of Matt Odell, like, and I'm a big fan of you, but like, let's let J-Daddy take it. Justin Trudeau. Let's let Justin Trudeau take it. Let's let him freeze.
I've not heard J-Daddy, but I enjoy it.
Why are we getting mad at Justin freezing bank accounts? That was one that there was like that trucker protest, candle that kind of happened. I don't know if that's like a correlation or a causation or whatever, but I mean like that there's no better way to like educate people that, oh shit, like fiat's a Ponzi. You don't even need CBDCs. Fiat's a Ponzi. They can stop you from transacting your money at any point in time. Oh me? Yeah. I just kind of sent my buddy like the lightning, like a lightning, invoice and he paid it. Like, doesn't matter about my fiat bonk. I'm not shut off. Like all these people in like Lebanon or whatever, where they're kind of getting their bank accounts frozen, like this whole country of Bitcoiners, if they mm-hmm. can, if they can grasp it. But
yeah,
the archetype of trying to like hold on to the system is almost like being like the Batman archetype. He's like the decelerationist. He's trying to save Gotham, which is just a crime ridden, like disgusting, like burrow of like, you know, fiat sludge. And then you have Joker who gets it. He's like the accelerationist. Joker's like, dude, I get it. Like, I gotta just blow off top here and we just gotta go with it. But Batman's slowing it down. So who's the real protagonist here?
How much more pain and suffering is Batman gonna put through?
And I'm not and this is like, I'm not saying we need pain. Like, I don't wanna come off like I wanna cause people pain. Like, I just don't. Like, I'm not that type of person. But the problem is you can't like, I spent the last year trying to do it. You can't understand things for people. You actually can't teach people like Bitcoin. It requires the language of reason and logic. And you almost have to have lived experiences in finance. You have to like be a little philosophical. You have to like, you know, understand tech. You've got to have all these things combined in order to like understand like the premise of Bitcoin. And if you don't have that operating kind of like mental framework or that, you know, that exercise brain of logic and reason, you won't be able to get it. You need the lived experience of like having, you know, your bank account frozen, or like having like you lose 50% of your net worth because you decide to hold your money in bonds, which is literally the first principal's Ponzi since 1913. So the whole like premise of acceleration theory is, guys, Bitcoiners, like, let's just get out of the way and let's let these status do what they're going to do, because there's no stopping it. It's just, there's no solution. And let's kind of get the meme going. How hilarious would it be, for example, if let's say Bitcoiners for Trudeau is like my buddy's account. And which is imagine great. How hilarious it would be if you had a whole bunch of Bitcoiners show up to a liberal rally and be like, we're on your team. We're supporting you, dude. Like, you got us. And you'd be like, what the hell? You guys are like supposed to be on the conservative side with like Pierre, but we would be like endorsing his stupidity. So it would be like this weird thing where he wants our votes, but he like doesn't. And then Pierre has to come in and be like, oh, the Bitcoiners are my guys. Okay, now I'm going to like go to hard money. Now I'm not going to like limp dick Bitcoin. I'm going to like go. And it creates this like tension, right? Because the pendulum swings back and forth between right to left, right to left. It's the same thing. We need the escape velocity. We need like leaving orbit, and that's what accelerationist is. It's just.
So, if you don't mind, let me jump in on this. So, the first thing is, I think everybody should do what they want to do, right? Like, there's people that are lobbying politicians, and they're raising funds that way, and whoever's donating to those funds, like, the thing is, just like you said, you can't convince somebody. You know, you can't do the education for them, and that goes for other Bitcoiners too that you're trying to convince of this theory. So, you know, just lead by example, do what you believe you should do while other Bitcoiners do that too. And we're like water, right? We're like mycelium. We're just like filling every crack, dude. Whatever way it's going to go down, we're going to try it. I can see the counter argument being, maybe we could save people some suffering. Yellow, what's up? Maybe we could save people some suffering. You know, they don't have to go through this pain. You know, if we can get ahead of this is like what Corey says at Swan, right? He's trying to win the race to avoid the war. However, I do agree with you. Some people need to feel it. Yuri Bezmenov, who's like that Russian, he was part of the Russian Secret Service or whatever, was talking about their tactics. And that's one of the things he mentioned was like during the Holocaust and things, like people just wouldn't believe you if you told them this was happening. There's people in camps. Even if you showed them pictures, even if you took them down there and walked them by the camps, they don't care until they're the ones that are being squeezed on. And so some people do need that. And what I take comfort in is, like you said in the beginning, the fiat always dies. And it's like one and the same thing. If Bitcoin hyperinflates, fiat is going to be we go hyper Bitcoinization. Fiat is going to be collapsing at the same time. So I know that time is on our side now. Before, it wasn't. You know, the more time went on, the more time we would lose and the more money we would lose and the more they would gain. Not anymore. So I do agree with you. I love the book, Atlas Shrugged. The difference is we have money that's in cyberspace that we can siphon fiat out of the system and plug it over there. And we don't have to go to Gulch. You know, we don't physically have to go somewhere to opt out. We can opt out from wherever we are. And that's it.
Denominator, I've got a question for you to tag in here. Okay, so like, let's say you, everybody's like, okay, that sounds pretty good. We can just sit back, you know, clown world, clowns itself to death. What do you picture Bitcoiners doing like in the interim, like other than like eating copious amounts of popcorn? Like what does a Bitcoin society in the midst of an accelerationist environment? Cause like accelerationist, it can happen quick, but like there's like some years in there that takes, like it takes some time. How in your opinion would a Bitcoiner best ride out a scenario where shit accelerates super quickly and it's just like, okay, we've got like mega lockdowns, we've got printing, we've got CBDCs, you can't do anything with it. Like how do you weather that storm in your opinion?
Yeah, I don't really know. I guess it's almost like acceleration theory is like inverse stoicism, where you're just kind of, you know, being indifferent to whatever's happening, but like endorsing it because you know on the other side you have like a fiat dead kind of thing. But I mean, like, if I were to give recommendations on what people can or should do in order to ride out Clown World, I would basically say, like, update the software of your own brain and your own operating system of like how you see the world, by, I don't know, reading things like Ayn Rand, like reading different philosophies like Friedrich Nietzsche, maybe like doing like probably more than 10 dice rolls on your on your cold card. I don't really know.
Definitely more than 10.
But I think I don't really know, because like it's going to be different everywhere. But I would just like, there's going to be a lot of there, like if hyper Bitcoinization is like a real phenomenon, and I can't say for certain, there's going to be quite a bit of responsibility on Bitcoiners. If Bitcoin is the only money, and upgrading, like I said, how you see the world in order, like from that framework. And I can't tell you exactly what to do or how to do it. But yeah, updating your cortical framework, addressing your first principles and the a priorities from which your kind of like life proceeds, upgrading your morality and these kind of things. We're gonna have to do a lot of thinking and a lot of teaching to like unpsyop a lot of normies. Like, there's going to be a lot of teaching to do. It's going to be like schools, and I don't even know.
But I'm going to toss a question to Don in regards to this, because Don, you're running the Kansas City Bitcoin meetup. Do you think, okay, so like, we'll put speculation as to what is going to happen aside, and we'll just say, in a scenario like this, do you think there's value in the idea of building, like, I mean, local communities in and around like transacting back and forth in Bitcoin, like creating like a local kind of circular economy? So at least, you know, in a worst case scenario, you're kind of sheltered from, I'm not saying that this shit is going to happen tomorrow or something, but you know, in that type of an environment, do you see that? I mean, I imagine you see value in like connecting with your local Bitcoiners that are like-minded, that would like to transact in something that doesn't, you know, get debased at an insane pace. Like, what do you feel around that?
100%. And to be honest, that's really one of the leading motivations as to why to go through the work and the effort to build out a local community. I mean, yeah, it's great to meet other Bitcoiners in person, but really, like, when shit hits the fan, we want to know that we're going to be strong in our local community, and that, you know, we have members of the group who have chickens, right, and are going to have eggs. We have folks that live on farms that have beef and milk, and you know, everybody kind of provides what they can provide. And I think, like, you know, if things do get dark in that scenario, we're going to know who has our back, right? And we're going to know that it's time to take care of each other. I think Bitcoiners are some of the most trustworthy and like supportive people that I've met through all walks of life. And I totally agree that we're probably going to go through some crazy times. And I think you're going to want to be surrounded by as many local people who kind of share your same viewpoints and are passionate about the same things you are during that time. So yeah, 100%. I think it's important to build your local network and your local community to be ready. And right, I mean, even if things are a quote unquote soft landing, then you'll just have a bunch of great friends. So what can go wrong?
Yeah.
Do you mind if I add here? Because last night I had this vision, right? Like, I think in movies, I don't know why, it's always been like this, okay? But last night I was listening to that Cypress Hill song, "When the Shit Goes Down, You Better Be Ready." When the shit goes down, right? And what I kept thinking is, I imagine this story arc in my mind where the dollar hyperinflates overnight and people wake up and there's fucking in the street, you know, there's like Venezuela, you know what I mean? Just everything's gone to shit. And you see that, and you see like a group of like a family of Bitcoiners like arming up. They got like the hot wallets, the cold wallets, you know, they got the nodes, they're all like getting it all ready, you know? And they're because I just got an Embassy Pro, and I've been setting up, I got my Matrix and my chat set up. So me and my girl direct connection messages live on my server. No one else sees them. And I imagine like people communicating that way. Hey, I need to go to this place, you know, to another Bitcoiner. Can you take me there? I'll send you some sats. And so you kind of see there's a society in chaos, but underneath there's this underground society of people who have Bitcoin, know how to use Bitcoin when the shit's going down, and they're still getting the eggs and the milk and the beef. And maybe it ends with, you know, they're getting a ride to a fucking citadel, like with our boy Jimmy down in Mexico or something. But, you know, that's just what you guys are talking about is exactly what I thought of yesterday. And it's just true. Like, you just got to be ready for the worst case scenario that comes. And then if it's not that bad, then great. Like Don was saying, you know, and even if it is bad, like, life's short, man. We're all going to die someday anyway, but at least there's Bitcoin, man. It's going to live and we're going to have a better future. And even for farmers in this kind of desperate situation, they're going to want to collect Bitcoin from you, right? You're probably going to pay them more sats than you would right now, because it's desperate times. It might be the only way you can get beef or milk. But they're going to know that it's a long-term thing. And once we get to the other side of whatever this is, that Bitcoin is going to be worth a tremendous amount. So they're going to be looking for people with Bitcoin. And the world just works the way it works. Regardless, at the end of the day, I'm just happy we have an exit, man. Because otherwise, our kids would be guaranteed to be slaves, or their grandkids would be, like, just guaranteed, man. You know? So
yeah,
I'm ready.
It's interesting when you were like, when you're like, I've hit a hyperinflates overnight, made me think of Odell's favorite book. Actually, I quite enjoyed it too, but
you say Mandibles.
The Mandibles. Yes. Have you guys read it?
I'm guessing Denominator. That seems like something you might author, my bud.
No, I haven't read Mandibles.
Yeah. It's, you know what? It's honestly a pretty dire read, but like my favorite part of it was actually kind of in the first few chapters, like the initial announcement of the US defaulting on its debt, and like reading that, like the presidential address, and I was like, holy shit, like that kind of a feeling to it. I mean, I don't know if we, I feel like that type of thing, they just, again, the natural reaction is to, you know, kick the can down the road. So there's never an official default on debt. It's always inflation. No, we've always paid our debts by printing money. So I think that's kind of more what we're in for. But again, to the meetup and local community thread there, I think maybe we'll round this one out just by saying, regardless of how quickly things go or how slowly, there's a lot of value in connecting with your other Bitcoiners and like-minded people, and being able to, like, I'm on a huge kick of trying to connect with everybody here in my city and starting to find ways to source things that I can pay for in Bitcoin. Like, I already earn Bitcoin, but you know, I found a rancher in Southern Alberta where I'm buying my beef from now, stocked my freezer with it, but like, I'm trying to find more. And so like my mission for this year is like, I want to be able to go to the Calgary meetup and have, you know, 100 people in a room where I can get more or less all of my needs met with Bitcoin. And I think it's valuable for people to seek that out. So if you've got a local meetup, go to it. And Ken, I'm gonna challenge you to say for the Kansas City Bitcoin meetup, if you're not doing it already, I would encourage you, if you can, have a 5-minute segment at the beginning of each meetup where anybody that's part of the meetup that is unfamiliar can come up and maybe say what they do for a living or what kind of products or services they offer and that they're willing to accept Bitcoin. Or inversely, if somebody is looking for a product or service that they can pay for in Bitcoin, to go up and say, hey, like, I'm looking for eggs. If you know a poultry farmer, or if you are a poultry farmer, and like friends of friends, that like the people don't realize the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon that can take place when you get in a group of people. So yeah, if you're not doing a segment like that in the Kansas City Bitcoin meetup, introduce it, because I think it'd be awesome. And that's what I'm trying to shoehorn into Calgary here. So, yeah, but maybe at Denominator, you may have won me over to Trudeau for Bitcoin.
Yeah, man.
I don't
be a decelerationist. Don't be like Hank Reardon, you know? He kept the system going for so long. Yeah. And can I say one more thing, a little caveat?
Yeah.
I'm not like blackpilled or anything. Like, I think that the transition to a Bitcoin standard is like incredibly, like, it's going to be remarkably smooth. I don't really see it's going to be like, you know, in the end of Star Wars Episode 6 when all the Ewoks are like celebrating and it's like, oh yeah, we got rid of the Emperor, that kind of thing. It's going to be, I don't know, it's going to be like kumbaya.
do some push-ups just in case, man, in case you're not. Do some push-ups, do some pull-ups, get ready to run, baby.
Could be wrong. Definitely cities might be a little yucky if there's like, you know, hyperinflation or whatever. But if you kind of live outside the city, then
yeah,
I don't really think there's like a big problem. I think it's going to be, oh shit, like now I have to learn how to put a wallet on my phone. Like if people have a modem and send emails, like I'm sure you can get your bank account rug pulled and then start from scratch. I guarantee you people will be more happy having like 1 year after, if like fiat goes to zero hypothetically and Bitcoin like hyper bitcoinization, people are going to be like extremely happy, like, oh, I don't pay my like mortgage anymore, sweet, now I can like start from zero, like this is awesome.
I earn 100% of what I make. Oh my god, that's crazy. Incredible.
I don't have these leeches constantly like sucking me dry. Like that's gonna be sweet. People are gonna be like, that was kind of worth it. I don't know, you Bitcoiners, you're crazy, but you're right.
Yeah, shitty year, you know, rest of my life is not too bad. Awesome. Anyway. All right, well, I thoroughly enjoyed that. I thought it was fun. I'm going to do one more rotation here. Shooter, I'm tossing it to you, and I've just got the simple question. Why are you bullish? Take it away.
Yeah, I'm bullish on the people, man. Whatever chart you want to look at, the number of Bitcoiners like who get it and are like Bitcoiners is always going up. You don't lose Bitcoiners, right? You might lose somebody who bought it short term and were thinking it was going to do this or that with the price, and then they jump out, right? So they don't get it. But the number of people that get it always goes up. Like, I don't know of one Bitcoiner that got lost other than like, you know, Bitcoin Jesus or whoever, you know, but that number is always going up. And another reason why you want to get in touch and connect with Bitcoiners, because it's a fucking super smart group of people, because especially right now, the people who are Bitcoiners are willing to do the research. They likely have done research in whatever other industry they're coming from. And so they're really sharp, brilliant people, and you can learn a lot from them. And just in every direction, right? So the video that I put out today, Mr. President Nayib Bukele tweeted, and there's a gentleman there from South Africa, the guy that did Manchankura, which is helping people send and receive Bitcoin over, you know, feature phones, flip phones with no internet, like, and he was talking about how Bukele and El Salvador inspired him. He would stay up late at night listening to Bukele talk, like 4 a.m, 5 a.m in South Africa. And the film I made on El Salvador would not exist if that didn't happen either. And so, especially with El Salvador, you know, the mainstream news will say Bitcoin failed there. And it's obviously, you know, just in tourism dollars and foreign investment alone, it's a major, major win. But what you cannot quantify are all of the people that had a fire lit underneath them and are working hard on things you don't even know about yet. And so that's what inspires me. I see more and more talent in every single industry coming in here. The quality of Bitcoin music is going up. The quality of Bitcoin films, everything is going up because we're pulling in more people. And so, yeah, I'm really bullish on that. I'm really bullish on content, like solid content that, you know, has the potential to live for a long time. I love, you know, like Ben, for example. I mean, Ben doing the tutorials, right? Like those things aren't topical. They're not news. They're not high time preference. They're, you know, they're there for whenever people want to do that. More and more people are going to want to learn how to do this. So your video is just going to get better and better, really. You know, it's going to help more and more people. And that's how I see any films that are being made right now. Like Comeback Country is a short film. It's only 9 minutes long. And I love it. Everybody loves it. But in 10 years, it's going to be even better than it is now. And in 20 years, 30 years, when people look back at this time, this crazy time, dude, they're going to want all of this. So I think content creators, filmmakers, you know, artists, they're coming in and they're seeing that. And they see that, hey, even if I make something beautiful right now, you know, it's probably going to be beautiful forever. And so as a shameless plug, you know, that's what I'm working on. You know, part of what Denominator is saying, you know, I think I can convince a decent amount of people of why they need Bitcoin and how to use it. A couple of days ago, so part of my what I'm doing is I'm getting a group of 20 people to help me fund it, just to kind of break it down. So the amount from each person is small, but you have a larger group of powerful people. And I'm happy to say 2 days ago, Adam Back joined, and he's one of the 20. And to see that and to see his support and him seeing the vision and wanting to make it happen, obviously, it gives me a lot of confidence and it makes me feel really good because I truly, honestly, with no ego, can say that I think I can make a film that shows a million people, hey, your time is being stolen. You're working more hours just to live than your dad did. And he worked more than his grandpa. What's going to happen to your kids and what's going to happen to your grandkids? I'll tell you what's going to happen. It's happened for thousands of years. This is what happens to money. And why? Just because they hold the records and they process the transactions. If we can take that away from them, then they can't do that, right? So I grew up homeschooled. My mom taught me, wasn't very educated, so I had to learn things and explain it to her simply so that she could understand it. Otherwise, she wouldn't believe that I understood it. So, and also we grew up with foreign exchange students. I used to talk to them, and you know, when you're working with somebody with English as a second language, you have to be very careful with the words that you pick, because if you say one word that they don't understand, they might lose you all, you know, altogether. So part of that is part of the reason why I think I'm like good at communicating complex things very simply. And then if you look at my Twitter feed, you'll see like visuals in terms of cinematography and editing and music. It's just like I have a knack of locking people in. So, yeah, it's a shameless plug. But honestly, like I wouldn't be working on this film if I wasn't excited about it and if I didn't think that it had the potential to, you know, open the eyes of millions of people. But broader, again, like I said, man, we just got so much talent coming in, man. We got so much talent coming in. And everybody's working on their own interest, and that's what's motivating them. Any other company, right? Any other industry, no one's working for themselves, right? Nobody gives a shit. You call, you know, your bank or customer service. It's not their money. It's not their product. They don't care. But Bitcoin is different. You have a million little people, you know, just inspired and ready to go and brilliant. And so, yeah, I'm bullish on the people, man.
Love that. Also, congrats on the Adam Back thing. That's super awesome. What was that, just like today or the other day, yesterday?
That was 2 days ago. It was the day after I announced that I was working on this film and looking for people to help. And I woke up the next morning and, you know, he's asking me questions. And within a short period of time, he's like, yeah, let's do it. And I'm like, okay, cool. Can I tell other people, you know, it's going to help me? He's like, yeah, absolutely. So mad respect to Adam Back, man. I mean,
yeah.
What can you
damn do? That's super awesome. Yeah, I think it's, again, it's the more people that are making, you know, making content in any way, shape, or form, basically being able to kind of communicate where they see value in Bitcoin, the more that kind of message proliferates through society. And like the people that understand, take the time to understand it, that are curious, that want to learn, that want to benefit from this, that are already kind of in a mindset that perhaps lends them to Bitcoin. Yeah, they'll get it quickest. They may benefit the most from it, but like by no means is it like an exclusive club. Anybody can jump over. And so those
opposite of exclusive.
Yeah. And so, no matter when, you begin to utilize Bitcoin in your life, like you get benefit from it, and that benefit will compound over time, you know, through the various freedoms that Bitcoin affords you, and you know, no longer having the fruits of your labor siphoned off by a third party unwillingly. I think there's huge value in that, and the people that, like yourself, that create pieces of content that can kind of tune people in to how Bitcoin can help and how it's helping, you know, maybe people that watch your film or you know, people that you are maybe worlds away from. It's all the same, and it all kind of helps in the end, getting people to that end understanding. I think what you're talking about paired with the pain of accelerations theory, of the just the natural order of things of clown world imploding upon itself, those two things combined, I think, can bring us eventually to a happy
place. I'll make the film and I'll wait to publish it until like some crazy shit happens, and then we'll just ride that wave, that acceleration wave. All right, denominator.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
I think denominator should be in the movie.
Yeah, there we go. At a Trudeau rally, please.
Yeah.
I love it. All right, so gentlemen, I think this has been a good rip. What I like to do towards the tail end here is I like to just do a quick round of, you know, any final thoughts, anything that you maybe like thinking back on what was discussed. If you want to add anything, then feel free to. But then also, I want to challenge you to offer up a tidbit of, you know, a piece of content or a piece of advice, whatever it may be, something that you think people watching will find valuable. So that could be like a video, an article, a podcast or an app or a website or just something that you've learned over the course of, you know, being in Bitcoin, whatever it may be, something that will hopefully lead viewers down a path of learning that could benefit them. So in terms of final thoughts, I will say that I think that all of the topics tonight kind of do oddly play together well. I mean, I guess it goes back to the everything is good for Bitcoin. No matter how awful or good it is, in the end, it's good for Bitcoin because Bitcoin is good for people. And it's just a matter of people discovering that in their own timeline. What I will say for those that already understand that Bitcoin is a good thing, then I'm just going to throw back to what I was talking about earlier. Deepen your learning. And so if you're curious about how Bitcoin works kind of like on its base, I'd encourage you to check out the DICE video that I did on how to create a seed phrase from DICE and you know, just like a spreadsheet or like on paper or whatever. And just in doing that, like don't use that seed phrase for you know, an actual wallet or anything. Like, but what I would say is just going through that process, spending like 30 minutes creating a seed phrase with DICE and seeing how the calculations are done, it gives you such an interesting insight into the math at play in what goes into your wallet. Like, so if you ever wondered what the hell are these 12 or 24 words that I write down, how are they determined for each wallet? Yeah, go check out that video. It's super cool. It's really, for me, it was a learning experience. And I've got to tip my hat also to Armin the Parman. He does a lot of like web-based, like article style educational content, and he's been killing it. And his article on Bitcoin Magazine from I think a year and a half ago now helped inform me of like how to even do this. So again, hat tip to him. But yeah, check it out if you're curious. done. How about yourself? Any final thoughts for today and any recommendations, thoughts for people watching?
Yeah, for sure. Kind of going back to your challenge in regards to the meetup, trying to match, you know, people up with services or goods or whatever paid in Bitcoin. Kind of a funny story, like the funniest or the oddest, I guess, maybe request that we've seen so far is somebody wanting to find somebody to cut their hair for Bitcoin. And oddly enough, we were able to match up between all the members of the group. Somebody knew somebody who would be willing to cut this guy's hair for Bitcoin. So pretty cool. As far as like a piece of content this week, I've really been starting to get in into some of NVK's most recent podcasts on Bitcoin Review. The one I really found interesting this week was a deep dive on Noster. Jack makes an appearance, which is pretty cool. And so, yeah, I think people that are interested in Noster would find that interesting.
Sorry, I was muted there. Awesome. Yeah, no, I totally agree. Noster is interesting. I've started playing around, but I got to dive in a little bit more to fully understand. But yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. Denominator, I'm going to toss it to you. Final thoughts, recommendations, take it away.
Stop macro trading, self-custody properly, and increase toxicity in stack sats. If I were to give recommendations of like things to read, I would read, I'm just deep diving back into a lot of Nietzsche stuff. So Twilight of the Idols is a really short book, but it basically at first principles, almost like this is going like unnecessarily deep and I don't want to open up a can of worms, but it basically like destroys, I don't want to say rationalism because like reason is like important, but it basically explains why instinct and the senses and lived experience are primary in people's learning and education, not logic and reason. Logic and reason are second derivatives of the first principles. And I would challenge people to think about that a little bit, because I was DMing Breedlove a little bit back and forth and he got pretty upset at me for saying that. But I mean, I don't know.
what was the book recommendation you said?
Twilight of the Idols. It's pretty, by Friedrich Nietzsche. It's pretty it's pretty deep. And you, it's one of those things you have to like read it slowly, and it's almost like a, like it's written in like parables and like in sarcastic like sense. But basically the argument is like, let's bring it back to like our psychology and how we see the world, back to almost like just pre-ancient Greek, man, where you had the morality based on like people just, you are good and of yourself. You don't need to like justify your being with reason and logic. The first principles is you are good. Like your life is whatever you want it to be. You don't need to like reason or logic about it. Anyway, we'll circle back to that later. But Twilight of the Idols, Friedrich Nietzsche. Bitcoiners need to get more Nietzsche into them. I think, but I'm probably could be wrong. Anyway,
interesting. Now I'm curious. I'm gonna have to get it. All right, Shooter. Final thoughts, recommendations, all yours.
Yeah, I'm not a big reader, but some of the things that helped me most in my life were the simplest things. So, like, fix your posture, look at yourself in the mirror, and you should be, you know, symmetrical, right? It changes the chemistry in your body. You release less stress hormones and more testosterone, more willing to do things, and more energy. Like, I had bad posture my whole life, and ever since I've been focusing on it, I feel like a completely different person. And that's the most important, in my opinion. Drink lots of water. Do some intentional breathing at some point during the day. You think about your lungs like a balloon. They have a capacity to get to a certain size. And if you haven't been using them, they're probably small. They only get maybe from 0 to 50% is all you're breathing. So you'd be surprised actually how much more lung space you have in there. And that also really improves your energy levels. And yeah, I mean, dude, those are the foundational things. I just feel like I operate so much better when I focus on those things because our bodies were made to run. We were supposed to be persistent hunters, persistence hunters, like wolves. We would chase things and chase things and chase things and chase things for days and days and days. And now we don't run or move our bodies like that at all. Think about all the air you'd be recycling in and out of your body. Think about everything that would be shaking and moving and all the twisting from the running, right? So you don't get any of that. So think about that, loosen up, get your posture right, drink water, breathe. That's it.
Awesome. I love it. Also, hot tip from the comments section just right now, Don Roll Tacos and sun your balls.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually got to start doing that. I thought that was just a joke until about a few months ago. And someone's like, no, that's a real thing. So I'm going to give that a shot.
I don't know if I have the privacy in which to be able to do that freely. I'm in the suburbs. So, you know,
I want to invent some shorts with a mirror on the bottom, like a periscope. And so, you know, you just stand in the sun and it'll come right down the bottom of your shorts and bounce right up and in. I think we could sell a lot. So
maybe I'll just knock on some doors and see how open-minded my neighbors are. Well, maybe I don't need to construct anything.
I sun my balls already. Come on over, Ben. We can do it together.
Hang out, sun our balls together. Great. I love it. confirmed, none your business. My neighbors love it when I do it. So glad to hear. see, you know, we're making a difference here.
Why are we ballish?
Yeah, why are we ballish? I love it. Gentlemen, huge thank you for all of you. This was a fun chat. I really enjoyed it. And yeah, I'll just sum it up by saying all of you are welcome back anytime. So thank you again.
Thank you. This was fun.
All right. Thanks, guys. I'll see you soon. All right, everybody, thank you so much for watching. I hope you enjoyed that one. Narwhal, thank you for the tip. Glad your neighbors enjoy it. Of course, this was a lot of fun. I'm so glad to be back after holidays, by the way, guys. This was nice to be back in the bullish realm with everybody. And you know, like, again, I'm trying not to get overexcited, but also at the same time, you know, we're over 20K for a little bit. That feels nice. You know, I don't want to get too excited right now, but like feels nice to see that again. You know, I mean, it'll probably be under 20K in like 5 minutes anyways, now that I said that, but hey, you know, you take your wins where you can get them. You know, we've been through bear markets before. If you haven't, you know, welcome to the club, but like, You get numb to it. I will say, and Yellow reminded me of this in the chat. I got to bring this up before I wrap up. I feel bad that I didn't mention it earlier. There is something going on Plebeian Market or Plebeian Market at Plebeian Market on Twitter. Less than 24 hours left on the Hodlonaut Sat Raiser. Check out the amazing Bitcoiners that are sat raising their time for Hodlonaut and open sats and at defending BTC. Bid on Tomer Strohlite, Tip NZ, Knut Spanholm, and Der Gigi's time here. And if you give that a click over on Plebeian Market, this is all raising funds. And John Vallis is in there. Who else? There's a few people in there. Basically you're bidding on an hour of these people's time, and all of the funds will go to help legal defense against the abominable sack of shit that is Craig Wright and his assaults on Bitcoiners for daring to not concede that he is Satoshi, amongst other things. Nonetheless, highly recommend you go check this out. John Vallis is doing a one hour, one-to-one video call. What else we got here? Knut again, video call with Tomer, with Tip and Gigi. And I mean, you can chat about whatever you want, but if you want to spend some time with these people and support a good cause, head over to plebeian.market and you'll see a campaign called We Are All Hodlonaut. And yeah, worth mentioning it. And also, again, the art here by Bisco. I love it. I love the giant kick in the ass here for fake Toshi. Anyways, worth mentioning. I think, you know, even if you're not going to bid on an hour of somebody's time, give it a share on Twitter. Well worth it. Which I am retweeting right now just to ensure that everybody sees it. Yeah, I'll leave that there. Anyways, guys, of course, thank you for being here. If you have not already, like, subscribe, share, helps get this in front of more eyeballs. If you are looking for one-on-ones, then, and the one-on-one tutorials are not, or sorry, the free tutorials on Twitter are not enough, you can check out my website, btcsessions.ca. If you really liked what you saw, you can always drop me a tip on my Strike page, strike.me/btcsessions. You don't have to have Strike to use it, but head there, type in any amount you want, hit the tip button, you'll see a Lightning invoice, or if you tap to the right, a regular Bitcoin QR code. With that, I am out. Have yourselves a wonderful day or evening. See you guys next time for your daily session. HODL the Bitcoin.